Well, thank you again for listening. This is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry, coming to you from Kenya today. It's beautiful here today, sunny, 90 degrees, a bit overcast, but very nice. We had a shower last night, and so God is blessing our farming efforts out there. We have 4 acres of crops out there about 5 kilometers from where I'm sitting here today, and God is blessing that with beautiful rainfall, and the crops look really good. So anyway, we're going to be speaking today about how giving blesses the giver. And last week we talked about the joy of giving and how everything belongs to God. It is all His. And so as we meditate on giving into the kingdom, as we contemplate giving back to the Lord, we have to start with some basic principles. And the first one is this, is that everything belongs to God. What do you have that God did not give you? What do you have that did not originate from the hand of God? And so when we come to the recognition that everything we have belongs to God, everything that He puts in our hand comes from Him. And even for those of you who are not believers, maybe you're listening to me today and you're saying, well, I don't even really have a church to go to. I don't have a place to give anything into the kingdom. And so this message really doesn't apply to me. Well, the scripture says that the rain falls on the righteous and on those who are unrighteous or those who don't know the Lord. And so He blesses everyone. He blesses everyone. Jesus had compassion on the multitudes, and He healed them all in many cases. Many of them were wicked people. Many of them were sick and sick in their minds, sick in their bodies, and didn't know God. They had no concept of God. They had a concept, but they didn't serve Him. And so Jesus healed them all, it tells us. He had compassion on all of them. So God is a giving God. He is a great and mighty God. And from His hand comes all the blessings that we have. And for those of you out there who think you're a self-made man or a self-made woman, and I know some of you are hard workers, some of you have great work ethic and great business minds, but I want you to know that you need to acknowledge and recognize the fact that without God, you would have nothing. Without God, you would be nothing. Without God, you are nothing. Even your very breath comes from God. Even the strength in your body to do one single chore or one thing in your business or your farm or whatever occupation you have, every single thing comes from God. So we recognize that. That's the first step, that it is all the Lord's, that He is the source of all of our provision. He is the source of everything that we have. And so when you recognize that, then you come to the recognition that maybe you need to give back to God. Maybe you need to show your gratitude by giving back to the Lord, who has been so good to you and given you so much in abundance. And so even for those of us who are sick or those who have sickness and weakness, we still need to give to the Lord. We still need to pay back to Him and to acknowledge our gratitude and our thanksgiving to Him by giving back into the kingdom. Well, Luke 6, if you have your Bible there, turn it to Luke 6, verse 38. This is a great scripture to meditate on. It says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." And so this is a scripture that says when we give into the kingdom and we measure with a good measure, when we measure with an overflowing, abundant measure, and we give back into the kingdom, the Lord says He's going to give back to us. He's going to bless us with the same measure that we measure out that blessing to the Lord. Give and it will be given to you. And I know many of you have been told that we should not preach any kind of prosperity, any kind of blessing for ourselves. Well, beloved, we don't give to get. That's not the reason that we give. We give because we love the Lord. We want to see His kingdom come here on this earth as it is in heaven. We want to see His kingdom expand into every corner of the earth, into every nation. That's our call. That's our charge. That is our commission, to go into all the nations. baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching all that he has commanded us, and teaching all and make disciples of all the nations. And it says he will be with us, lo, I will be with you, even unto the end of the age, or even unto the ends of the earth. And so we don't give to get. That's a selfish attitude. That's an attitude that does not please the Lord. We need to be cheerful givers. And we need to be giving from the perspective that Jesus gave his all for us, beloved. He went to the cross. He shed every precious drop of blood that was in his body. He shed it for you, for me. He paid the price for our sin. He paid the ransom to set us free from bondage for all eternity. And so we owe him a great debt of gratitude. We owe him everything that we can give him, and even more. But beloved, we can't give it all back. We can't give it to him in the way that he gave it to us. And so when you give, you need to do it with a cheerful heart, with a cheerful attitude, with an attitude that this is what God has created me for, to be a blessing to the kingdom, to bless other people. And when you come with that attitude and you give as it is given to you, then you will be blessed. And when you use a big measure, you're going to be blessed with a big measure back. And when you use a tiny measure and you're very stingy and you can't seem to ever find any money for the kingdom, I know many people out there, they have a rejection of going to church. They have a idea about church. Well, those people down there, all they ever talk about is money, 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 and all they ever want is money from you. Well, if you're listening to me today, brethren, and let me know that you want to keep these broadcasts coming, because it costs money each and every week to keep these broadcasts on the air. Yes, the kingdom of God has to pay radio airtime. The kingdom of God pays television time for all those quote-unquote greedy television evangelists. They are paying a tremendous amount of money for their broadcast time and for their production and all that. And so it costs money to do anything for the kingdom, just like when you go to the airport and you get ready to get onto the plane. You can't just say, well, I'm a minister, and they give you a free ticket and a first-class passage. No, it doesn't work that way. You have to buy a ticket. You have to pay the price that they're asking. If you don't get your ticket purchased in time, the price is going to be very high. And so that's just the way the kingdom operates. But when you are stingy with your money and you say, this is mine, I'm not going to give it to anybody, I'm not going to bless the church, I'm not going to bless the pastor or the evangelist or anybody else, then that measure that you use, God measures back the blessing to you with that very same measure. Well, in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 22, David is in a quandary. David has sinned, and the Lord gives him three options through a prophet. The Lord gives him three options on which to, you might say, make recompense or be reconciled back to God for his sin. And David chooses to allow a plague to go on to his people, and 70,000 Israelites succumb to the plague. 70,000 men and women die because of David's sin. And then David wanted to go make an offering to the Lord for his foolish decision, for his stupidity. He wanted to go make an offering to the Lord as an example to those around him, that they could see that David was contrite in his heart, but also David wanted to get right with the Lord. He wanted to show the Lord that this is what I want to do for you, Lord. I want to bless you because you have listened to me, you spared my life, and you spared the lives of many of the Israelites. And so we need to do this also. There are times in your life when you are burdened with prayer, when you are burdened with conflict or trials and tribulations. There are times in your life when you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, and you may have troubles, you may have enemies coming against you, you may have a hole in your pocketbook and it just seems like money flows out just like water. There are times when we need to go to the Lord with an offering and say, Lord, I am putting my offering on the altar right here. I'm putting my offering on the altar to bless you. and to show you that I have a burden that I want you to correct. I have a burden that I want you to listen to my tears and listen to my cries and listen to my heartache. And when you put that offering on the altar in a situation like that, and you have a prayer that goes with it, and you have an offering that is given to the Lord, then God says that I have heard your plea, I've heard your cry, and I'm going to bless you because you have brought a great offering to me. Well, in 2 Samuel 24, verse 22, David is at the threshing floor of Arauna, and David is wanting to buy the threshing floor and to build an altar to the Lord because of his sin and because of his unwise decision. And so Arauna says to David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up whatever seems good to him. Look, here are oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing implements and the yokes of oxen for wood. All these, O king, Arauna has given to the king." And then King David said to Arauna, "No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which costs me nothing." And the plague was withdrawn from Israel that day. Well, David recognized the fact that he had sinned. He recognized the fact that he was under a burden, and his burden was the whole nation of Israel. And he recognized the fact that because of his sin, people had died. And so he had a great burden to do something great for the Lord. And so he made this offer to buy the threshing floor. Arauna countered and said, "I'm going to give it to you. I will give it to you with all the instruments or the implements that come with it, the threshing implements, the yokes of oxen, all the wood, everything that you need." And David said, "No, I'm not going to take it for free. I want to pay something for it because I'm not going to give to the Lord. I'm not going to make an offering to the Lord for that which costs me nothing." David said, "I want to give a sacrifice. I want to bless the Lord with a great sacrifice. And so I'm not going to just take what somebody gives me and give it to the Lord. I'm not going to take a crippled cow to the altar. I'm not going to take crippled animals to the altar. I'm going to give the best that I can give. I'm going to buy this threshing floor, and I'm going to bless the Lord with the purchase of this threshing floor." Well, that threshing floor became the very place where Jesus was crucified. It's outside of Jerusalem. It became the place, the threshing floor became the place of the skull, the place where Jesus was offered up. And so this is an Old Testament shadow and picture of the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ back to his Father, back to his Creator. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says that Jesus Christ is the first fruits of all creation offered back to God, and it was done from the threshing floor of Arauna. And so that first fruit offering, Jesus Christ, David, made that offering. He made it possible by purchasing that threshing floor and giving an offering to the Lord there on that threshing floor. Well, it brings up the subject of tithes and tithing. Malachi 3, verse 8, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, says the Lord. But you say, in what way have you robbed me? In tithes and offerings, says the Lord. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring all the tithes," this is Malachi 3:10, "bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me," or "test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, "if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts." Well, there are many opinions and interpretations regarding tithing. Many people say, well, there's no teaching, a comprehensive teaching in the New Testament on tithing. And that may be true, although there are lots of teachings in the New Testament on giving none specifically say tithing, but I believe that if tithing was the standard and the expectation in the Old Testament, then certainly the New Testament, the new covenant that God has for us through the blood of Jesus, that new covenant is a higher standard, it's a higher expectation, and it's a higher blessing. And so when you tithe, God blesses you, He sees you, He knows your sacrifice, He knows you're trusting Him, and that's really what tithe is all about. It's about trusting the Lord. It's about saying, God, I trust you with 90% of what you have given me. I'm going to keep that 90%, and I'm going to give 10% first fruits back to you, O God, just like Jesus Christ was offered back to you. The first fruits of all creation was offered back to you. And so the tithe then becomes an implement, or it becomes a representation of our love for the Lord. It becomes a representation of our trust in the Lord, that we can trust Him and that He is going to continue to bless us, and that we can trust Him by giving 10% off the top, first fruits, back to the Lord, and then He will bless us and He will reward us. Because in many cases, the tithe may be a big measure for you to give. It may be a struggle for you to have the faith to give that much. And yet when you do, God says, I see it, I love it, I'm going to bless you accordingly. And so when you do that, then God will bless you. He will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And beloved, listen, verse 10, it says, bring all your tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and test me. Test me. You can actually test the Lord on this tithing. You can test Him now in this, says the Lord. If I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Well, beloved, God's kingdom, it does not operate like man's kingdom. You don't get 3.2% on your certificate of deposit. You don't get 3.2% on your long-term saving or your government bond. In God's kingdom, you trust Him and you give, and He sees it, and He blesses it with the measure that you measure out. And so tithing is an important principle. I believe that if you really want the blessing of the Lord, you should give more than a tithe. I don't know exactly how much I give, but it's a substantial amount. Many, many times I have emptied my bank accounts for the kingdom of God, and sometimes it has made me just a little bit apprehensive at times, maybe just a little bit nervous at times, but many times I have emptied my bank account, and God is always faithful to supply. He is always faithful, and He gives to me according to the measure that I measure out. When I was first coming to Africa, the Lord had given me a dream, and He showed me I was standing on a platform, and I was holding a big bag filled with maize, ears of maize, white corn. I was holding that in a bag, and I was holding my Bible in the other hand, the bag of maize in my left hand, and behind me on the platform was a big grain silo, 2,000 bushel or 5,000 bushel silo, filled to the top with ears of maize. And the Lord was showing me that He was going to be my provision, that He was going to keep filling that maize silo. He was going to keep the grain overflowing and keep filling it so that it was overflowing, and it would flow into my bag that I was holding on my left hand, and then that bag would be my source of provision when I go to the field, when I go to the mission field, when I go to Africa or wherever I went, or by all sufficiency for my needs. He would supply everything that I needed. And beloved, that has been so true. I keep taking from the big silo. I keep taking when I need money for crusades, when I need money for the people at the preschool, or money for the Shamba, the living water orphanage. And when I supply the needs that they have for those projects, God keeps filling that silo up, and He will do the same for you. It's a great faith builder. When you see some kingdom projects that the Lord finances, it's a great faith builder. And beloved, you need more faith. I need more faith. We all need more faith. And so if you stretch out and give some of your money to kingdom projects and ask the Lord to bless it and bless you. He will be faithful and true to do that. Well, I'm going to close the last few minutes here talking about giving and the blessings of giving. I'm going to close talking about the law of sowing and reaping. And this is a little bit of a different take on the give and it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together. But the law of sowing and reaping really applies to everything in the kingdom. When you plant good seeds into the kingdom of God, you're going to reap a harvest. When you go out there and you plant seeds in people's hearts, or you plant seeds in a plot of soil, or you plant seeds in an orphanage, or you plant seeds by going into the prison to preach or teaching Sunday school or whatever it is God has appointed you to do, when you plant seeds for the kingdom, you're going to see a harvest. That is the law of the sowing and reaping. This is 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, this is the Apostle Paul, this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he proposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. And so as you give, God loves a cheerful giver. He sees your heart. If you're giving grudgingly and you're giving in a miserly way, in a stingy way, God sees that. He knows that. And if you're giving in a way that is a blessing to God and a blessing to yourself and a blessing to others, you're giving freely, you're giving with liberality, you're giving with freedom, God loves that. He sees your heart and he says, oh yes, I'm going to bless that person. He is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, that you may have an abundance for every good work. Well, that includes keeping up your house, that includes taking care of your family, that includes keeping your vehicle running, your farm running, your business running, all those things. I can tell you that God has blessed me so much over the years in keeping my farm going. It wasn't a big farm, but it had its challenges, and the same for my business. God was able and abundant in every good work to keep my business going for 22 years. And so God is able to bless you. He is able to strengthen you, multiply the seed that you sow. And then in verse 10 in 2 Corinthians 9, it says, Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So first you give your seed, you plant your seed, just like the first thing in growing a crop out there in your soil. You first have to have good seed, so you put that good seed in the ground. You ask the Lord to bless that seed. It comes with the rain. He comes with the sun. He comes with the fertility of the soil. And you go out there 4 months later, and lo and behold, there that one seed is made a head with 200 kernels of grain in it, or with maize, it's, you know, hundreds of kernels of grain. And so he multiplies. And so that seed then multiplies, and God will supply seed to the sower, and he will supply bread for food, that is your daily provision that comes from the seed, and he will multiply that seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. And then the close, verse 11, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, for all freedom, for all blessing, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Well, beloved, everything that happens in the kingdom has to be financed. I'm going to talk just a brief minute here about some of the kingdom projects we have going here in Africa. Everything in the kingdom must be financed, and so there's nothing free. Actually, when they see a Mzungu here in Africa and they see him working for the gospel, they actually raise the price on many things. I have to be very careful that people don't take advantage of me, because when they see Mzungu, they think that we have an unlimited amount of money, that we just walk around in America and pick it off of trees. And so that is a concept they have here in Africa. And so many times they try to exploit those of us who are here to preach the gospel and to build projects. But beloved, your donations, your gifts to gather the outcast are stewarded in such a way we take very good care of your money. We have projects going here that we want to finish, that we want to complete. I have an orphanage project started here with a pastor here in Kenya, and we're doing the painting, the final painting right now, but we need about another $5,000 to $10,000 to really finish that place up, buy all the furniture that we need, all the things for the kitchen and the dormitories, and to get it ready, the landscaping, get it ready for the children to move in. Also, we have preschool project. We're sponsoring preschool children at $20 per month. If that would be of interest to you, we buy them uniforms, shoes, maize meal, porridge, and mats to sleep on, and pay for their exam papers, all those things, $20 per month. That's a wonderful way to get involved in the kingdom. I also have crusades planned, one in Burundi coming up in November, and then in December going to Kilgoris down in Maasai territory, Maasai tribal country here in Kenya, Kilgoris. We're going to do a 5-day crusade with many pastors of Kilgoris, and so I have crusades planned. They cost money. You have to lease sound systems and security and build a stage and advertise and get singers and all those people in to help you, and so they can be very expensive. But I know God is going to provide. He always has. And I want to invite you to partner with Gather the Outcast, partner and see the kingdom of God expand in Africa, and see the kingdom of God expand all over the earth. As you bless the kingdom, then the Lord will bless you in return with the same measure that you measure out. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Stay tuned for contact information at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week.